Good morning, everybody. We are going to get started shortly. We're just waiting for the hearing examiner to join the meeting.
All right, well, inevitably, after yesterday, the problem was going to be on my end, not on the county's end, because you all sorted it out on your end, and then it went wrong on my end. But I think we're ready to go. So it seems as if you all are ready. And if so, we can go ahead and get started.
Sounds good.
Okay. And we are recording already. Okay. I will get my gavel out then and make it official. And good morning. I'm going to go ahead and call this session of the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner to order. For the record, today is April 13th, 2023, just after 9 a.m. We have one item on the agenda this morning. This is number 22-05101 involving a request for a conditional use permit to allow for essentially an after the fact permit to allow for conversion of an existing structure to function as an accessory dwelling unit or ADU on property at 23072 Indianola Road Northeast in the Poulsbo area of unincorporated Kitsap County. My name is Andrew Reeves. I'm a hearing examiner with Sound Law Center that the county has selected to hold certain land use application hearings like this one. And today will be my role to collect evidence in the form of exhibits and testimony to determine whether this proposal complies with the county's comprehensive plan, zoning ordinances, critical areas ordinances, and the specific requirements for approval of a conditional use permit under the municipal code. And in this instance, even more specifically, the requirements for approval of an accessory dwelling unit under the code. To that end, I did have an opportunity to review several documents in advance of the hearing exhibits. And these include 19 items thus far, essentially. And this is a staff report prepared by county staff, information or historic records related to the property, including application materials themselves, and then some historic information, including photographs, details related to the septic for the site, information about the environmental review that occurred under our state's Environmental Policy Act, or SEPA, information on the well that serves the property, some additional site information about geology and soils, et cetera, information on the notice that was provided in relation to the application, as well as today's hearing. And then just a few comments that were provided by government agencies. So I'll go ahead and admit those exhibits into the record. Should anyone have additional exhibits that would like admitted into the record, let me know when it's your opportunity to testify, and I will address admitting additional exhibits at that time. All testimony will be under oath or affirmation. That's because were my decision to be appealed, the recording of today's hearing, as well as the admitted exhibits and my decision, would serve as the foundation for any such appeal. I may and often do ask questions of those that are testifying. I'm not trying to trip anyone up. I'm just trying to ensure I have a thorough understanding of the proposal so that after the record closes, I'm able to produce a decision that is hopefully clear and legally defensible. So with that, I think we can get started in the order that we typically follow, and I think we're going to follow today is first I'll swear in county staff, and we'll give sort of a overview of the review process that led us to today's hearing and any recommendations that staff has. Then after that, we'll go to the applicant team or representative if they're available, and then if there are members of the public interested in testifying, they'll have that opportunity. And then if necessary or appropriate at the end, we'll come back around to the applicant team and county staff to respond to any such testimony. So I think then, yeah, let's do it. So county staff, we'll get you sworn in. I'll have you. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
Thank you. And if you could just state and spell your name for the audio.
I am Jenny Kreifels, J-E-N-N-Y. K-R-E-I-F-E-L-S. And thank you. Good morning, Examiner Reeves. Staff would like to enter three exhibits this morning into testimony. The first one will be an email correspondence from Ms. Gray, the applicant. The second is a public comment from Mr. Cott, an interested party. and adjacent neighbor. And the third is an email correspondence compilation between staff and the applicant prior to submittal of the application.
Okay, so before we started, I think the number that was identified by staff and in the staff report had been 19 exhibits potentially, and that included sort of a staff presentation today and a sign-in sheet, as it were, which is par for the course and standard the way we operate. So then this would be exhibit 20 would be the email from the applicant, if that tracks. 21 would be the email from, I think you said, Mr. Cott. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And 22 was an email from, one more time.
That would be various correspondence between the staff and the applicant.
Okay. So sort of back and forth communication.
Email correspondence.
Gotcha. Okay. So I'll go ahead and make those exhibits 20 through 22.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And with that, go right ahead.
All right. Okay. I am a planner with Kitsap County Department of Community Development, and today I am presenting a conditional use permit. And I believe we're going to pull up the slides here. There we go.
Yep, I see it. Okay.
All right, great. Okay, I am presenting a conditional use permit for an accessory dwelling unit in the rural protection zone. The applicant proposes to convert an existing 1,810 square foot single family dwelling into an 884 square foot detached accessory dwelling unit. It's currently occupied by the owner applicant, the Grays, on parcel 042-602-3003-2001. The property has a 456 square foot single family residence, and I'll refer to it as a cabin, which is proposed to be demolished for a new single family residence under building permit 22-02-501. This was issued December 1st, 2022. Development includes a detached garage, or I should say existing development includes a detached garage, parking areas, and a driveway. Therefore, those are not part of this accessory dwelling unit proposal. The application was deemed complete on November 21st, 2022. A notice of application was distributed pursuant to Title 21 Land Use and Development Procedures, which provided recipients with project information and an opportunity for public comment. No public comments were received by the department at this time, or at that time, I should say. Pursuant to WAC 197-11-355, the Department of Community Development used an optional DNS process for this project. The SEPA comment period previously occurred concurrent with the notice of application dated December 2nd, 2022. The Department of Community Development issued a determination of non-significance on March 7th, 2023. One comment letter was received from the Suquamish tribe. No other comments were received at the drafting of the staff report. The SEPA appeal period expired March 21st of 2023, and no appeals were filed. Therefore, the SEPA determination is final. And as of recent, a neighbor in support of the proposal provided public comment, and that was entered into the record this morning, as mentioned at the start of the hearing. All right, here we have the aerial photo. It shows development consistent with the rural protection zone as being single family homes and garage structures. The proposed accessory dwelling unit is consistent with the properties in the vicinity. And according to Kitsap County Assessor, the subject site is 7.45 acres in size, located at 23072 Indianola Road Northeast in Paulsbo, Washington, in the area of North Kitsap and Commissioner District 1. Excuse me. The site is within the rural protection zone, highlighted in green, which there's a lot of green there. My apologies. I am working on.
Which green? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's directly center of the screen, and you'll see a water body in it. So sure. That blue shape there.
The horseshoe. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right. I think it just jumped. Let me go back there. Okay. All right. So properties to the east and south are also zoned rural protection. There's a collector arterial road, which is known as Indianola Road Northeast, to the west of the subject site. And at the southern portion, we also have the rural protection zone. There are tribal lands at the northwest parcels beyond the Indianola Road. So those are the parcels that have a beige color, and they have a T on them, actually.
Tribal. Okay.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Sorry, T for tribal. Is that?
Yes, sir. Yes. All right. Zoning setbacks for the parcel are established in Kitsap County Code Chapter 17.420 for density, dimensions, and design. And those include 50-foot front setback to the west, a 20-foot side setback to the south and east. And at the north, we have a 100-foot side setback. And that is because our use table has a footnote 29 for single family buildings abutting any rural wooded zoning. This proposal meets all zoning setback requirements. Okay, here we have our GIS parcel map. It shows critical areas consisting of a fish bearing stream, and that's the dark blue in the highlighted parcel that meanders through there. It enters from the northeast corner and it heads in the southern direction, meandering into a water body at the western side, and then exiting the property at the northern west perimeter. GIS maps also indicate some landslide and high erosion hazard areas at the eastern portion of the parcel. And the accessory dwelling unit, I'll refer to from here on out as an ADU, is existing development and demonstrates no additional concerns to the critical areas. And here is a site plan for the proposal, which shows access from Indianola Road Northeast to an existing shared driveway used by both dwellings. The building permit 2202501 was reviewed and issued to be located further from the fish-bearing stream and its migration channel and landward of the existing detached garage. There is existing parking provided for the ADU. I didn't find a label on there when I was checking, but the three, if you can see where the access driveway is, there are actually six parking spaces delineated on this site plan. There's three to the ADU and or proposed ADU, and there's three to the proposed single family residence, and they are measured as 20 by 9. So that's meeting standards. And here we have the main floor plan. It's for the proposed single family residence to be 2,697 square feet. Let's see, in order to determine the maximum size allowed for the ADU, it would either be 50% of the entirety of that 2,697 square feet or 900 square feet, whichever is smaller. Please note the applicant did provide documentation supporting the primary single family residence as 2,697 square feet per the issued building permit that I mentioned prior, and not as 1,810 square feet as listed on the assessor's webpage. DCD does accept the documentation provided by the applicant and will use that 2,697 square feet for the ADU allowable size limits.
Right, but just to be clear, in this instance, the square footage of the already built or long extant ADU is quite a bit larger than 884, but it's just conceptually it's being decommissioned as habitable space, right? Is that accurate?
Correct. I do have
idea, so for me at least.
Yeah, I did include the floor plan we'll be getting to soon. Sure. Of the proposed ADU. The applicant has agreed to decommission, as you say, or convert to non-conditioned space on the main floor. So that can be unheated storage and whatever those requirements are to meet an ADU required structure.
So just before we move on, just to make sure the numbers are what I understand they are, the new, when you say they're the new residents being developed, that's a totally new structure, yes?
Correct. And so that is the square footage that we would base the allowed ADU on.
And so as long as, you know, it's a certain size, right? As long as it's above a certain size, that gets you to the max, which would be 884, correct?
Right. Anything essentially 1,800 square feet of habitable space in the primary home would hit that maximum allowance. So this is definitely over 1,800 square feet. So we would allow up to 900 square foot allowed.
Got it. And then interesting or unique or however one wants to frame it or think about it, this is not normally one would think it would go the other way. You would have a residence and build an ADU, or you'd have do both at the same time. This is take an existing structure and then build a new, much larger structure and call the old one an ADU. I mean, is that kind of what's going on if I were to frame
right. it? I mean, if they only had one existing structure on site, they can choose to do it either way. As long as one of the structures is less than 50% or the 900 square foot maximum threshold, you could call the first one, the larger one, the SFR, the principal dwelling unit. The second one would be then considered the ADU.
Well, right. I mean, isn't that what's happening? I just want to make sure I understand.
Right. They could have, if they weren't building a new house, they had two houses on the lot. They would have had to make the smaller cabin that is existing proposed for demolition on the east side of the lot. They would have had to make that the ADU because you cannot exceed 50% of the primary. And so the existing home being converted into an ADU, I believe that is about 1,610 square feet. So they would have had to chop part of the cabin off to meet our code requirement.
Sure. Okay. Well, sorry to interrupt. Please continue.
No, it's fine. It's very confusing. I understand.
It's a little confusing. Yeah. I mean, it's, again, not the traditional way that these come before, so.
Yeah. Okay. So here in this slide, we have the upper floor plan. The floor plan also allows the department to determine whether other accessory dwelling units or accessory living quarters exist on the property, of which there are none in this instance. Here are the elevation plans for the new proposed single family. The north elevation is at the left and the south is to the right. And the west here is shown at the top of the screen with the east elevation below. This provides the basis for similar architectural style that the ADU must meet as well. Here are the architectural renderings for the new proposed single family residence. This provides more basis for architectural style that the ADU must meet. And here we have existing photos for the 1,610 square foot primary residence. It's proposed for conversion to the ADU. As you can tell, it's two stories. It is demonstrating elevation and design style of the current home. And here we have the floor plans for the ADU. I highlighted the square footage total provided, and anything labeled but not highlighted is considered unconditioned, so there would not be any heating, and uses are very limited. And so code will count conditioned habitable space. And so habitable and conditioned, they're not always the same thing. We don't count covered depth, for instance, or some call it porches. We wouldn't count that as conditioned space or consider that to be part of the square footage allowance for the ADU, if that makes sense.
Sure. I mean, I guess conceptually, I do have concerns, but one thought being like, you know, a lot of properties in the Northwest have unfinished basements, and they're often the exact square footage of the residence itself, the first floor. And under this conception, am I understanding correctly that, let's say I've got an 18 or 2000 square foot one story home, if it has a identical size 2000 square foot basement underneath, I can call it an ADU and build a brand new home a few feet away, because as long as the decommissioned basement, or, you know, as long as it's not heated, is this the concept? I'm just trying to understand.
Right. So at the end of this presentation, we do have the code requirements for standards, design standards and requirements and guidelines. It's a very basic section of the code, and that is correct. We would not count a garage. We don't have height restrictions for a basement or unconditioned space in this section of our code. And so anything conditioned, heated, and depending on the use is going to be counted or not counted.
Okay. I guess maybe inevitably things were headed this way, to the extent that I have seen instances of, you know, here's a home or here's a garage or a shed, and now we're going to add a loft and we're going to call that the ADU, and the shed or garage is quite large, but the only thing that'll, you know, be heated is this amount. And so that's okay. And it, you know, so I guess traditionally one would short plat something or, you know, but according to the code, this is perfectly acceptable. And that's where we're headed, right? I mean, I just want to make sure I understand.
For today's code, yes, sir.
Okay, great. And I mean, I'm not trying to be difficult. I understand fully that the legislature is very supportive of accessory dwelling units and higher density and all that. I just want to make sure I guess conceptually I struggle with the idea that you can decommission part of a long extant pre-existing residence. Like decommission, like, oh, it's no longer part of the house. But again, if that's the interpretation, I will give deference. I don't know if I've run into this before. So I'm trying to wrap my brain around it. So
staff has had many conversations on this situation as far as what the health district might consider an ADU. But yeah. I will say Kitsap County also has what's called a caretaker unit in the code, and we have something called a guest house in the code, and we used to have something called an ALQ accessory living quarter in the code, which is within or attached to a principal structure, but today we are calling that an attached ADU. And I have noticed we don't have a lot of design requirements in our code today. It is very limited.
Yeah.
Sure. And I guess while we're saying today, you've stressed that a few times. In this instance,
like changing.
Page 2 of the staff report references section 17410060, but my understanding is that that was repealed. So are we under a different section of the code, or?
The 17410060? Title 17.
Am I looking in the wrong place?
No, I believe you're right. It's a detached ADU outside of the UGA?
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just looking on. I have the staff report print out for my review, and then I have the code pulled up separately. And the code, unless I'm in the wrong code, 17410060, repeal. Editor's note.
Allowed uses, correct? 040.
410060 is the staff.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm not sure what the appealed section is. I haven't.
Oh, sorry. So under section 3 of your staff report, under history, it references 17410060. Maybe that's a miscite, maybe?
You know what? That might be an editor's error on my part using the template. It could be an old code section from the template, and it is probably supposed to be right above there.
Let's see.
Oh, 60.
And I know that the code has changed. So that's, I guess, maybe also, does the code, the KITSAP code, to the best of your knowledge, still have, you know, additional specific ADU criteria in addition to the CUP criteria, I guess is the question.
It does, correct. And I'm sorry, was that page 2?
For me, it's page 2 under section 3 history, and it would be the third paragraph. The ADU meets all applicable provisions. Am I reading this wrong? Or?
Okay, so
are we reading different things?
I see what you're seeing. I just have to flip back to 17410060. Yeah, I think that's just a typo, and it should not be. So it's zoning use.
And here we're outside of the UGA, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so I think probably it'd be 415, maybe 417-415-015.
I think that must be it. I'm sorry, I'm not as familiar right now with this code. It's very new for me, so
I
believe I should have checked that better when I used the template to start my staff report. My apologies.
Oh, no, I'm not, you know, again, I'm not trying to trip you up here. I just want to make sure that there's not a vesting issue or some, you know, weird thing where this was, you know, approved or accepted as complete application-wise a long right. time ago. And because that happens sometimes, right? So I just want to make sure we're both on the same page. But so just to be clear, my understanding is correct to the extent that we are looking at this under the current version of the Kitsap County Code. We just need to find the right provision that we're talking about. Is that accurate?
Correct. And I believe it would be 17410 for allowed uses or 17110020 for accessory dwelling unit detached. So how would you like me to resubmit that staff report?
No, I don't need it resubmitted. But again, what you just said doesn't track with what my understanding is either. So I want to, you said just now, what did you say what I should be looking at? Did you say 110 or 410?
So we have 17110020 for the definition.
Okay, hold on one second. I just want to make sure I get this right. 17110020.
Okay,
and that's the definition. It's very, very, very short.
And then within that definition, there is a hyperlink, and that is 17.110.017.
Well, I think that hyperlink is just differentiating between detached versus attached.
Yeah, I'm going to go into allowed uses from there. Let's see.
Sure. I think it's 415 is the
you chat. Think? Okay.
I maybe I'm wrong. But
sure, you're right. Because
no, I
it would, sounds familiar.
I would never assume that.
Give me 1 second. I was saving the. Okay.
015 maybe 415-015. And this is new to me too, to the extent that this is like brand new, like the code has very recently changed. And I think maybe
you're just trying to make me feel better.
No, I think the last few of these that I did, at least, I think my colleague might have done the last few of the ADUs, but I think the last few that I myself presided over were under the old version. So this is, I think, new to me as well. So
Okay, so you are completely correct. 17415015 for accessory dwelling unit located outside an urban growth area.
Okay.
That is where we want to be.
And I don't know if it significantly changed anything. I just want to make sure I have it right and we all have it right. So in terms
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Staff appreciates that. Shall I continue with the
PowerPoint?
Please do. And hopefully I'm answering your questions. And let's see here. Go back. Okay, here is the floor plan for the ADU, and it's demonstrating the size to be 884 square feet, which would meet the allowed square footage, not exceeding 900 square feet. And so we have the storage area on the main level that would not be counted. And then there's a covered deck as well. And then on the second floor, two covered areas that would not be counted. It must be converted and it must pass inspection before the final occupancy is approved. Some historical photos here. The parcel was originally developed in 1950 for residential use. Photos show original single family residence being converted to the ADU. More photos, they were taken in 1963. A second single family resident cabin, as I've referred to earlier, as well as a detached garage were constructed then, at least as far as I could see by the photos and in the assessor records. Both dwellings look very much the same to me today in the photos presented. A building permit for the new proposed single-family residence was issued, as mentioned earlier. The expansion of the legally existing non-conforming single-family residence is resulting in all of the uses now coming into conformance with current code standards. So the cabin single-family residence will be removed, and that is nearby the proposed single-family residence being built.
And so just so I'm lost, I just want to make sure I understand. You've got initially, many years ago, we have a 1,610 square foot home, which theoretically was one of those sites, one of the photos. A similar looking cabin that was 456 square feet. A detached garage, which was about twice that size. So, you know, third structure, carport, different than a garage, I suppose. And then ultimately what's happening is removal of the 456 square foot structure, replacement with a brand new 700 or so foot square foot structure.
We actually lost sound. We can't hear you.
Can't hear me? Oh, weird. Hello? I didn't do anything. Can you still not hear me? Nothing?
I can hear him on Zoom, so it must be in the commissioner's chambers.
Thank you for letting us know that. Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't touch anything. I didn't. Well, hold on a moment. La 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 la. You know, I feel like I need to keep talking just so they know whether they can hear us or not. They're great photos to at least have up while we're waiting. It's like the original sort of like a Ford hatchback of some, or like a wagon, maybe. All right, still nothing, huh? I certainly can't hear the chambers. And Yeah, normally 45 minutes is a little quick to have the system decide it's tired of me. Normally I get at least about an hour. I got bad jokes all day. I'm just
what area are you?
Oh, hello. There we go.
You can hear?
Now I can. I don't know if a
button all right.
But that was bizarre. It was just, you know, who knows?
Are we recording?
Can you hear them? I think you weighed in earlier. I just wanted to check.
Yeah. So if you can hear us, great. We hear you. And I think you had a question about the proposed building.
Sure. I was just going to say, so I understood, and now we're back. Hopefully everyone can hear. I promise I said nothing of substance while that was occurring. I was just, you know, blabbering, as it were, to try to work the audio out. But now that I'm back on my serious, important discussion. So initially we have a 1,610 square foot, we'll call it structure, a 456 square foot residential structure. Those are both residential in nature. A 924 square foot detached garage, a 200 square foot carport. So different, I guess, than a garage. And so what's happening ultimately, just to be clear, is that the smaller residential structure, 456 square feet, that has been around for a long time, that's being demolished, and then a 2,700 or so new structures being built, and then the 1,610 square foot, again, long extant, you know, since the 60s or whatever, structure is being sort of recharacterized, and parts of it are being decommissioned, or, you know, so that they're not heated, or, you know, and that will allow it to be thought of as an ADU. Is that, just to make sure I'm on the right track and understand the process, is that accurate?
That is accurate. However, as far as the 200 square foot carport goes, that was assessor data information, and I'm not sure if it is still there on site, so we can always ask the applicant. Right. But I did include that in the report since it was data.
Okay, great.
So, but as far as everything else, you laid it out perfect.
Doubt that, but thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, this proposal is conditioned to follow the requirements of Kitsap County Code Title 17 zoning, specifically all requirements for ADUs in Kitsap County Code 17. Got that code section again, 415. Yeah, 415. Let's see.
015 as well.
Yeah, 415015. Thank you. I'm going to memorize that one now. Okay. Back on track here. The project will be conditioned for any applicable stormwater controls pursuant to Kitsap County Code Title 12. And then I have the list of special use criteria here in the slide. There are no other accessory dwelling units or accessory living quarters on the property. The owner currently resides in the ADU. 50% of the future primary residences is 1,349 square feet. Feet. Therefore, the maximum allowed area would be 900 square feet. The proposed ADU is 884 square feet. The ADU is approximately 65 feet from the proposed primary residence. And the ADU will have similar appearance of the primary residence. It will meet all required setbacks for the rural protection zone. All health standards for water and sewer have been met and approved. The proposed ADU is not an RV, and the ADU will use the existing driveway off Indianola Road northeast. The department finds the proposal consistent with the comprehensive plan, compliant with requirements of Kitsap County Code, all other applicable regulations. compatible with the characteristic of the subject property and immediate vicinity, and not materially detrimental. So staff feels that the ADU will meet criteria in 17415015. I write that down, sorry. Special uses. And that concludes my presentation. And the department recommends approval with all conditions, 25 conditions.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And just before we move on, I just want to make sure that I've got, make sure any questions I have. Let's see, one sec here. And again, for both of us, I think the code has changed. And so there are some challenges, as it were. It's interesting, but so the new, you know, this new version of the code we're in kind of does have an entire section on existing unpermitted accessory dwelling units, either attached or detached, that are outside the urban growth area. But that doesn't appear to be what this was evaluated under. Is that right?
We did take into consideration that section. I believe it's number 11.
Yep. The B11 kind of weird section, as it were.
Yeah. And they are meeting that section as well.
They are. Okay.
Because it is, the structure is existing. The use as an ADU is not considered existing. It had not been permitted through a land use permit. Actually, the prior uses, they were considered legally existing non-conforming to single family residential uses. And so in our non-conforming section of the code, code states that any enlargement or alteration to a non-conforming structure or use would require that all of the site and structures on site come into conformance with today's standards in the code.
Okay. I guess partially what made me ask or potentially become curious or make sure I didn't misunderstand is that, you know, under that section 11B11, there's reference to, you know, you can't, it has to be a different owner than existed at the time, you know, that, you know, the property owner did not own the property when the ADU was constructed, things like that. And but you're saying it all is good. I shouldn't worry about it. And just to be clear, again, I have no issues here in terms of, I fully understand the goal, and the legislature and the county are really have embraced allowing this kind of structure. And I, you know, have no problem with that myself. I just want to make sure in terms of the criteria that I haven't missed something. So I just.
Right. So the uses that are currently known today, I guess the part about the ownership, I believe the current owner lived on the property or lived in the ADU. Actually, I'll have to defer to the applicant for the history there. But I believe that both structures have been used as dwelling units. And so that was permitted. When they originally had that use from the 50s and 60s, obviously it's not the same owner as then, but that section I have gone through, and I would agree that they meet all of those requirements, number 11.
Okay, great. Yeah, because if it, I'm going to trust you that is the case. It's not detailed in the staff report in terms of the new criteria, 11B, if that is applicable, or 11A, I guess. B11 is what I'm saying, which is fine. And I don't think it's detailed in here. it's different as than I'm used to, and there's some interesting criteria. And I think that the idea or the concept is to sort of encourage and allow, you know, further approval of ADUs. Staff has reviewed it. It meets the criteria. We're good. I'm ready to move on. I just want to make sure that someone has said that it was reviewed, and if that is the right criteria to look at, then I'm good for me.
Right.
Okay. I think then that's it in terms of questions. So I think we've clarified what version of the code we're looking at, and staff is confident it meets that version. And in terms of the exhibits, I don't believe I received the final ones we started or discussed right at the beginning. Can you just very quickly tell me what those were about? Just the final
one. Three entered in at the beginning, right?
I just don't think I've seen that yet. So I just wanted to ask.
So we had Exhibit 20 will be the email from the applicant owner.
Okay.
And Exhibit 21 will be the attachment that was in the email from Mr. Cott, also interested party of record, in favor of the proposal. And he's actually here today. Okay. And then Exhibit 22 is the compiled email communications, lots and lots, but I think I've sifted through enough to allow you to get kind of an overview of what went on and occurred prior to submittal of the application back in mid, I believe, 2022. And so I think that's it.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to, because I hadn't seen them yet. I wanted to make sure that the public comment was not a concern that I hadn't thought about or that hadn't been addressed. It was just a letter of support, as it were. And so no need to dive deep into that, and I'll review the rest when I get a chance. So
thank you.
With that, we can move to the applicant, as it were, unless you had other members of staff you intended on hearing from.
We do not.
Okay, great. And do we have the applicant there today?
We do. We have Miss Lauren Gray. If she wants to come up, I'll get my stuff out of the way here. Hi.
Great, thank you.
It's already on.
Hello, and I'll swear you in. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in testimony you give here today?
Yes.
And if you could just state and spell your name for the audio.
Lauren Gray, LaurenGray. On some of the materials, my maiden name is listed, which is Patterson, PatterSon.
Great. Thank you so much. Go right ahead.
I just, in response to some of the questions that came up, I did want to clarify the reason that we proposed to put the new construction, which is not a part of the conditional use hearing today, this is not the ADU, but the new construction linked to the proposal, is because of the feedback we initially received from the DCD. And I can provide follow-up if that would be helpful. Hearing everyone go through it, it does sound very confusing. But the reasoning that we submitted an addition permit, so our new construction is an addition permit, which is what was submitted. It was accepted as a replacement. So the new construction associated linked with this project is a replacement permit. And that was because the structure built in 1950 was the primary residence. And so we were told that we should be expanding the square footage of the primary residence, and that we would not be permitted to expand the square footage of the secondary residence, which is the one we're now applying for the conditional use permit for.
So to that end, just so I make sure I didn't miss it, what you described as the primary residence, perhaps it was built first, 456 square feet.
Correct. Yes.
And then what is called the secondary residence, 1610, and that's now what's the conversion, as it were, versus the full replacement.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Got that. And so what essentially you're saying is you all knew you wanted to do something. You went and talked to staff and you asked permission, not forgiveness, always good. And they said, you know, this is probably the way to do it conceptually. This is what works. And that's what led us down this road. Is that right?
Yes.
Totally understand.
Okay. I do have two items that I would like to submit to the record. I will follow up with, I can give you a paper copy if you'd like today, and then I have them in electronic copies that I'll submit. The first is just a letter in response to the staff report. And then the second, I received a response from my biologist who completed the habitat management plan associated with the new construction. The name of the biologist is Peninsula Environmental. And the lead biologist submitted an email I would like to read for the record, but I'll also follow up and submit that in writing as well.
Sure, and feel free to just summarize the email. I will review it, but so essentially what would become Exhibit 23 will be a letter by you, the applicant, or you and others, but the applicant letter in response to the staff report. And then 24 would end up being the letter from the biologist that you're going to summarize. Again, you don't need to verbatim read the whole thing. It'll become part of the record and I will certainly review it. Does that work?
Great. That sounds great.
Please go right ahead.
So I we may have already covered this, but I just wanted to make clear that the two, there have been two single family residences on the property since 1963. The first structure was built in 1950 and was referred to by the county as the primary structure, and that's also referred to as the cabin. The assessor's record lists this as 456 square feet of livable space. It has an impervious footprint of 528 square feet, which is inclusive of a covered porch. I mention this because of some of the comments received by the Suquamish tribe related to the impervious space. Construction has started on the project for the permit issued under 22-02501 that was issued on December 1st, 2022. The physical characteristics listed in the staff report do a great job of outlining what's on the property, but there are significant pasture spaces that were not documented that I wanted to make sure were reflected in the record. This property has historically been the home to cows over the years. This is also pertinent because the water body is a man-made feature as detailed in page 29 of the Peninsula Environmental Report. There is active pasture space in between the critical area and the proposed area of impact, so where the existing structure is and where the new development is occurring. I mentioned that because it's a degraded riparian zone, the stream in between the stream and the area of the structures. The boundary lines of the stream and the pasture were put in place by Kitsap County in the late 1990s or early 2000s as a part of a restoration project. The Type F stream is currently not a fish-bearing stream. This is documented in the Peninsula Environmental Report in addition to the WDFW Fish Passage and Diversion Screening website. I provided an outline of the impassable barriers that are documented by the state indicating that this could not be a fish-bearing stream. It could be in the future. There's also a hatchery on the other side of the road. There are two comments that I would like to make regarding the surrounding land use and zoning in Table 3. And that is, to the north of the property, the rural wooded designation is also a mineral designation as well. It's a split designation. That's the one that required the 100-foot setback on the north. That's an active and operating sand pit.
Oh, okay. So it's a mineral resources overlay potentially as part of it?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
To the south of the property, there is an active and operating sawmill. Should I continue? Or do you?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Sorry, please.
In response to the comments from the Suquamish tribe, they stated that the approval allows the applicant to enjoy the benefits of an ADU within the overall structure of a single family residence, leaving 805 square feet to interrupt the infiltration in a critical aquifer area. We may have covered this, but the structure is two stories. And so the footprint and the impervious surface for the proposed ADU is well within the 900 square foot allowance for the livable space. So we're not talking about 1600 square feet wide. It's only 800 square feet wide.
I guess one way to think about it would be the building envelope.
Yes.
You know, is eight, and then cakewalk, you know, two layers of the cake, but it's not, is that kind of the idea?
Correct. Yes. All existing stormwater and all proposed stormwater controls will infiltrate directly on the property, which is primarily sand. The statement that I'd like to provide a response to was that the proposal does nothing to mitigate the cumulative impacts of both this proposal and the linked proposal upon the environment. And my response to that is that the report provided by Peninsula Environmental outlines a no net loss habitat management plan associated with permit 2202501. And that's in the new construction. Proposed new impervious surfaces of the new construction are less than 1% of the total parcel. The habitat management plan dictates the conversion of 3,700 square feet of pasture space to specific native vegetation to enhance the riparian zone along the water body. The habitat management plan was completed, assuming that the subject of this hearing and the conditional use permit, the structure that was on site and has been, would remain intact. Last statement that I'd like to provide a response to. From the viewpoint that zoning is to help protect the rural atmosphere and reduce environmental impacts, this proposal is effectively increasing the density to more than one unit per 5 acres. My response is that this is a previously developed site and the density associated with the property is not changing. There have historically been two legally non-conforming single family residences on the property. Examples of recent approvals with similar characteristics that I would like to enter in are associated with permit 2105459. This was approved on the 12th of July. And this was an existing, like us, it was an ADU that was existing. It was approved at 1,400 square feet. So this property owner had a primary residence of 1,721 square feet and had an approval issued for an ADU the size of 1,400 square feet. This was reviewed under the code mentioned by staff, 17410060B3M. In addition, in that approval, there were other similar outbuildings. I wanted to try and find similar examples of things. So there's a lot of outbuildings like we have on that one as well, totaling 2,175 square feet. The second example, which very closely mirrors ours, is permit number 2004188. Which had a building permit issued in July of 2020, and then a conditional use permit issued in February of 2021. This was new construction, not an existing, but it has 800 square feet on the bottom. I think you were mentioning this. It's a barn use, and it has a bathroom on the bottom.
That one might have been me, actually. I don't know about the first one you just referenced, but...
Yeah. The first one was not a conditional use. The first one was an administrative decision. I'll provide the details if.
No, it's fine. I can find it. I'm okay. Confident. Or maybe it's within the UGA or, you know,
yeah.
Or old enough or, you know, the code was different, but that's fine.
In this instance, there's 864 square feet on the bottom. And 843 square feet on the top with a total of 1,700 square feet. This was new construction. The primary residence is 2,235, and the other structures listed on the property are 900 square feet. If I could summarize, unless there's any questions, I'd like to summarize the email from the biologist.
Sure, and it can be brief to the extent that I certainly will read it. And if there are members of the public that would like more detail, I'm happy to maybe have you then elaborate. But I promise I will look closely and take it into consideration. So
okay, I think really just to summarize briefly, he's reiterating the points that I mentioned. So we came to the same conclusion, which I think is good. He mentioned that all of the storm water will infiltrate. There's no impact to the aquifer, and that the habitat management plan will provide improvement to the environment.
Okay. And that's the peninsula plan, right? March 21, 2022?
The peninsula environmental report was written in, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just making sure. Yep. Excellent. Great. Did that then conclude the summary? And which was, that was a summary. Well played. So to the extent that, as sometimes is the case, this person agreed with me. So that, they did a good job to that extent. Right. I mean, that's a joke. I will certainly review it. But essentially that's sort of the additional confirmation that some of the things that had been brought up as potential concerns had been addressed by those with, the right letters after, their name, the expertise in engineering or the environment, wetlands, et cetera. So that will be part of the record, and we already discussed that. And then I believe you had an opportunity, Ms. Gregg, to review the staff report that was prepared by county staff. And there's several conditions that are recommended to me, the hearing examiner, essentially saying, were I to approve this, staff believes these conditions are appropriate to be included. You had an opportunity to read that as well.
Yes. So
any concerns or issues or ideas or clarification you'd like to make?
I just had one question, and I believe it was answered, just to make sure, because it's a little bit of a unique scenario, that there weren't any additional permits necessary, but I think we're good, if I understood your email response correctly. Oh.
That wasn't a question for me, I think, right?
I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, I'm good then.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say there potentially could be a little bit further review down the road. Building permit with any new structure, but that would be beyond the scope of my analysis. I'm more looking at is this the type of use that's okay? And as you just stated, it is unique. And I didn't mean to throw anyone today in terms of my questions, to the extent that this is kind of a new version of the code that just very recently came into play. And then this is kind of a unique situation of two existing residences legally non-conforming, and so just wanted to make sure I fully understood what was happening, and I think now I do. So with that, I think those are the questions that I had for the applicant. Do you have anyone else with you were hoping to have testify before we see if there are members of staff, or sorry, of the public that were interested in testifying, is what I was trying to say?
There is a member of the public here who would like to testify.
Excellent. Okay, I was gonna say yes, other than the applicant team. So we're good on the applicant team, is what I'm saying. You're the team, and we're good there. And
yes.
Thank you. We'll move to the member of the public that was interested in testifying. Thank you so much, Ms. Gregg.
Thank you.
And hello.
Hi.
I'm going to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in testimony you give here today?
Yes.
And if you could just state and spell your name for me.
My name is John Kott. J-O-N-K-O-T-T.
J-O-N-K-O.
K-O-T-T.
K-T. And no H, right? J-O-N.
Yeah, J-O-N, John.
Got right.
Oh.
Gotcha. Please proceed.
Okay, I'll try to keep this brief. I've lived to the east of the question property here for more than 40 years. My wife and I have on acreage up there. Lived there before the Suquamish Tribal Hatchery was built. I've lived there before the Growth Management Act was drawn up. In fact, I did have some input into the Growth Management Act. And I would like to say that the Gray's work here is what we anticipated for the Growth Management Act, a single family living on acreage in our area. So we're very pleased to see that they want to continue the activity there that's been there for since 1950, essentially. I can attest to a lot of things that Lauren has said. The drainage in that area, it is all sand. And so the runoff is essentially non-existent or minimal.
All infiltrates on site, basically.
Yeah, the infiltration is right there on the land. There's no runoff. Sure. And they don't seem to be adding any impervious surface, or very little to speak of, so that's not going to be a problem at all. And they just want to say that they are welcome members of the community, and we hope that things go smoothly from here on.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time, and I can definitely say that it is refreshing sometimes when, you know, you see members of the community come out to support other members of the community. That's not always the way this works. So I don't have any specific questions, but I just wanted to say thank you and appreciate you taking the time. And it sounds like there were some written comments as well that we're including in the record from you that will be part of the record as well.
Great.
Thank okay. you. Thank you very much. And then as far as I know, that's it in terms of those in the room. Caitlin, does that seem right? We may have some online. I have a couple, at least one person that is not identified as county staff as an attendee.
Yes, we have two people in the attendees pool.
Sure, one of them is listed as Kitsap County, so I'm assuming staff, yes. Maybe not.
Yes.
Okay, so what I would do, I guess, is ask if Judy Ray Carlson, who is not identified as staff, is interested in testifying, and if so, this would be your opportunity.
This is Judy Ray Carlson. No, I'm just observing today. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. And just in case, just to make sure I didn't make a mistake there, Kristen Jewell identified Kitsap County. This is a staff member, probably not interested in testifying, I would think. Or maybe, but.
Yes, we are just observing because we anticipate coming before you in a future matter and wanted to get a sense of the proceedings.
Oh, okay, but not a staff member.
I am a staff member of Kitsap County, but not of DCD.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And happy to answer questions in a different forum, but, you know, but appreciate you taking the time to watch, and hopefully this has been helpful. And
very helpful. Thank you.
Excellent. I'm very mean and scary to be in front of. Hopefully you learned that. That was a terrible joke. Clearly I'm just failing today with my delivery. With that, I think that was everyone in the room, both virtually and non-virtually, in person. So with that, why don't we have Jennifer Kreipels come back momentarily, just to make sure if she had anything final she wanted to add or any final clarification.
And thank you.
Welcome back.
And thank
just
you.
Didn't have a ton of, I think clarification or clarifying points needed, but I wanted to give you an opportunity at the end to provide any final thoughts.
Thank you, Examiner Reeves. I appreciate that. This is my first hearing here at Kitsap County, and missing that code section, I was over here trying to figure out what happened. And I do believe I found it.
Okay.
And I do believe it should say 17.4. 410.042. And I believe it's in reference to the zoning use tables in allowed uses. I'm thinking the heading actually is 17.410.040. And I'm going to verify with another planner when I get back to the office, but I'm thinking since 060 was repealed, this may have been what the change was for 2022.
Sure. So the reference you're discussing is the use table, right?
In the staff report on page 2, section 3, where it misstates 17.410.060, I believe it should be 0.040, which leads you to the zoning use tables.
Okay.
Because that section of code, it also includes that the criteria for the CUP must be approved. So those are the overarching two regulated sections.
But just so I'm not making a mistake then mentally or how I move forward myself, I thought I was clear until now. Now I'm a little nervous. So what I'm saying is, in my mind, there's sort of two code sections criteria that need to be met. You have the meta structure of a conditional use permit or CUP, and that's the applicable in lots of situations. Is this the kind of use that could be allowed that is a little different than, normal? And we just want to ensure that it doesn't have detrimental impacts on neighboring properties and the environment. And then more specifically, second set of criteria unique to this would be the ADU criteria. And so in my mind, you and I were talking about earlier on would have been the newer ADU criteria, I believe, are in 415, 415.
You're correct.
Okay. So I think
the other criteria is that the use has to be a permitted use in, I think it's referring to the use table because it used to be an ADU used to be considered a special use in that section. And I think that was the change. But if I'm just confusing the situation more, but you are correct. 415.015 is one section that is the allowed use standard criteria that needs to be met.
So we have a table, and the table is, multicolored and it has letters and it's P and C and this, that, and the other. And I understand that. And so you're saying that is probably what this could be referencing, and that's fine. That's probably accurate as well.
Might be redundant too, because 17.410.040 brings us to the use table, which says it needs a conditional use permit.
And the use table then will link to the 415.010.
Yes,
so it might be exactly. Redundant. What I'm saying is there's no criteria in a use table. It's
right.
The UP criteria, that's the one meta, and then underneath that.
Correct.
There, okay. I think we're on the same page. I think we've confused each other, but now we fully, it all worked out. Two rights made a wrong however.
Yeah, I can add all of them next time.
There you go. No, I think we're good. I appreciate your patience and willingness to, walk me through it because, things change, codes change. And I knew this was coming at some point because I had several hearings where it went, are we still in the old version? And we hadn't done the new version. And so you ended up with the, unenviable task of having to walk with the new version.
And I appreciate everyone's patience because...
There you go. So I have no further questions for staff. And so if you think we're good, I don't see any need to leave the record open. I would need the exhibits that we discussed that will be included. And here in the county, we do leave the record open one additional week, just in case there were any tech issues. I had some and you all had some on your end, but the idea being the record will close 1 week from now and then my decision will be produced within 2 weeks of that related to this project, but based on what I've seen, you know, I obviously reserve the right to change my mind or think further, you know, upon further review. But based on everything I've seen, I don't see any major issues with approving this as recommended. It is certainly a strange, unique situation, but it's a long-standing, interesting situation. And as I think our final member of the public witness sort of said, you know, this is not a major change, and this is what was intended. And they're, can, you know, kind of moving forward with a long-standing use, and neighbors are happy. Though, you know, who am I otherwise to get in the way, other than I will produce a decision that clearly delineates all that. With that, I think we can end the hearing, and thank you for your help today. Had no idea this was the first one you've appeared in front of me. So good, great work. And we do have another matter, but is it a different Zoom invite, or are we good?
Yes, it is a different Zoom invite. So
log off and log on. So
exactly.
I will let Ms. Gray, Mr. Cope, and Ms. Krebels all go, but I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And with that, we'll end this hearing, and I'll be back on in a minute, and we'll get going on the other matter. Thank you, everybody.
Great.
Wonderful. Thank you.